Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is 3:05. Welcome back. Second hour of the show. You know, that actually got me thinking. I heard the forecast there, and I used to play this song back when I was a disc jockey many, many, many years ago. It looks like it's from 1976. Dave, I'm going to give you a moment to pull this up on YouTube before we get to our next guest, if you can. You got my text?
I did, yeah. Let me pull it up.
This will be interesting. Let's see if you can pull the... You might not know this song, but it sort of speaks to the wildfires out west, if you will. Boy, I haven't heard this song in a long time. Let's see if... See if we can pull it up. We have Mac Bradley coming up talking about life on Venus. Also, Ian Scheer, Apple made some announcements today, their annual meeting. Here we go. Sanford Townsend Band, Smoke from a Distant Fire, Camo X. Well, I forgot when the lyrics started, so I was trying to hit the post like this. Here's the Sanford Townsend Band on Camo X. Oh, I still missed it. Dave, I'm losing my touch. I forgot this was like a 30-second intro. Here we go. Took me three. That was
third time's a charm, Mark.
That was just terrible. Usually I can do that instinctively. And I know I've hit the post on this song many times. So do you know this song, Klein?
Never heard this one before. And they kind of look like Simon and Garfunkel a little bit.
A little bit. I was looking. I don't even know if I've ever seen these guys before. But I'm looking at the YouTube. And yeah, they have a picture. Here, listen. Okay, there you go. Well, I was trying to harken back to the DJ days, but I failed miserably. 3:07, have you heard the news? Baby Yoda was discovered outside of Venus. I'm pretty sure that's what's happening here, because listen to this. Disney just released this today. The Mandalorian Season 2's coming out.
The songs of eons past tell of battles between Mandalore the Great and an order of sorcerers called Jedi.
You expect me to search the galaxy and deliver this creature to a race of enemy sorcerers?
This is the way.
This is the way. Now, Mac Bradley's with me this afternoon. He's our international space guru, and I heard this story yesterday about sign of life in the atmosphere of Venus. It has to be Baby Yoda. I don't think there's any other possibility, but I wanted you to confirm it, Mac, for me this afternoon.
Yeah, hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I certainly can't think of any other plausible explanation. So I think, plus that's a tough act to follow between that and your musical accompaniment. this is a tough interview.
I'm all over the place. All right, but in all seriousness here, I was curious, and I knew that you would be a good person to talk to this about. So they're saying now when we hear life on Venus, then I hear life in the atmosphere. Kind of sort this out for us. What are we talking about?
Yeah, well, so first of all, we don't know that for sure. There's an international team of scientists who have found compelling evidence of a substance called phosphine gas in the atmosphere, high in the atmosphere of Venus. That is created on Earth by biological processes, but also by some other things like volcanoes and stuff like that. The team that discovered this, they discounted all of the non-biological explanations for this. But that doesn't, you know, this is going to require a lot more study and a lot more work. And it's worth pointing out that they discovered this from looking at data from two different observatories on Earth. So we haven't actually detected this from any spacecraft that's orbiting Venus. We've found it out from observations from here. So there's more work to be done on it, but it does look pretty exciting.
So a guy named Jib Bridenstine, I might have mispronounced his name, Bridenstine, who's the administrator at NASA, tweets this out. It's time to prioritize Venus. So what does that mean, I guess? And is it, in your opinion, time to prioritize Venus because of this discovery?
Well, it means he's going to have to go to Congress and find a way to get more money to prioritize Venus, I guess. But, you know, I kind of blame H.G. Wells for all of our focus on Mars. We've had a very Mars-centric focus in terms of exploration for a lot of reasons. But, you know, one of them is Venus is just a horrible place to try to actually visit. At the surface, the temperature is around 800 degrees Fahrenheit. The surface pressure, because the atmosphere of Venus is so thick that it could crush most submarines on the surface of Venus.
Yeah, so here on that note, Mac, here's one of the lines from the New York Times story says this: the planet eats metal within minutes, melting down and crushing spacecraft that have landed there. I didn't know that. Right. That doesn't sound very hospitable.
Yeah, the most successful probe ever landed on Venus was sent by the Soviet Union, and it lasted about an hour. It weighed 5 tons. It was designed specifically to withstand those pressures, at least for a time. It lasted about an hour before it was crushed. So there's no realistic option. It's, you know, you want to put boots on something, right? So everybody's excited. We're going to put boots on Mars. Mars is like a Sunday stroll in Forest Park compared to Venus, right? So you can't do that on Venus, but you could, or you can orbit the planet, which we've done and the Russians have done. It looks like this phosphine gas is able to live higher in the atmosphere where it's less toxic and where there's less atmospheric pressure. So it is pretty exciting, but there's going to be no boots on Venus. So it's not like the same kind of exploration that we would look at for Mars.
So it's weird because going back to the, you know, the temperature, 800 degrees, but then when you go, and is that the phosphine? So there's this cloud layer that's just 31 miles below, and it could be like 86 degrees Fahrenheit and have a pressure level that's similar to what we have on Earth.
It could be. And, you know, one of the now this hasn't gotten off the drawing boards. There are a lot of Venus things that have never quite made it off the drawing board. But, you know, one of them NASA's been looking at for some time is kind of like a Zeppelin or an airship that you could just fill that with air because the atmosphere in Venus is so thick and so heavy. You could float a balloon just filled with air on top of the atmosphere and fly it around the planet to do much closer measurements of what's in the atmosphere. So there are a lot of cool ways to do it, but to Administrator Feinstein's point, it takes money to do that, and you either need to go get more of it from Congress or you need to take some money away from someplace else. And, you know, they've already committed to boots on the moon in 2024 and being on Mars around 2033. We'll see if either one of those things happen. But those are expensive endeavors, and you need to come up with the money somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, I agree with him. If this is even partly, or could reasonably be true that we really are looking at life on Venus, then we need to go there and find out for sure.
All right. Well, thanks, Mac, for coming on here this afternoon. This phosphine, I'm reading more about that. And I just remember, too, didn't Walter White, did you watch Breaking Bad? Didn't he use that to kill people, too? I think he did.
You are a wealth of knowledge today. Yes, I believe he did. But I don't know if that's a good reason to go there. But a fascinating fact, nonetheless.
I just thought I'd toss it in there. Mac, always great to have you on. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Yep, 314 at the Voice of St. Louis. What happened with Apple, their big rollout today? Do you need a new Apple Watch or some new software, or maybe your expensive iPhone like I have is eventually going to take the 5G technology? I think you have to have a new phone for that. Ian Scher will break it all down next on KMOX.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
Welcome back. 320. It's the Mark Reardon Show for a Tuesday afternoon. We have John Rooney about an hour from now talking Cardinals baseball. I just couldn't make it up last night for that second game. I tried, went into extra innings, and I was shocked. I must have had a dream that the Cardinals dropped that second game because I thought that was the case, and then I saw the score. So they split the doubleheader. They're in Milwaukee again. They have two more games tomorrow at Miller Park, so we will not have a full show. We'll have just that first hour again tomorrow. Real interesting story I want to see if I can get to before the end of the hour about the Attorney General of South Dakota, who said he thought he hit a deer, and then he went back to check, and it was a dude that he killed in the middle of the night on Saturday. So some of the details of that, rather interesting. We'll share those a little bit later. We have an audio cut of the day as well. Apple held its fall product preview today. That's always a big deal, especially for geeks like me who have Apple product after Apple product. And yes, I am an Apple snob and have been for a while. CNET editor-at-large Ian Scher with us this afternoon. How are you, Ian?
I'm doing all right. And you're not alone having your nose in the air, so don't worry about it.
You know, one thing I just, and maybe you can, this is off topic, but on topic. All right. So I have an iPhone, and when I sit at home here where I am right now doing my show, I don't have any cellular service whatsoever. So I have to rely on Wi-Fi calling, and it gets rather frustrating. Just two times, maybe three times since the spring, Wi-Fi has been down at my house, and that means we lose the signal for the show. And I can't even text the producers and say, hey, you know, I lost Wi-Fi because I got to go out to this one part, you know, in the front of my house. I bring it up because, and I just realized what the deal was recently because I started Googling this. I try on many occasions to send pictures to people. For example, I'm in Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Cameron is my little brother from Big Brothers. His mom, Katie, I want to send her some pictures because, you know, we've been out doing something and I send her a picture. Well, she never gets the damn pictures. She gets the text that I send, but the pictures don't go through. Do you know why this is? I finally know why this is.
I don't actually.
She has an Android.
Oh.
If you try to send a picture from an iPhone and it's not on a cellular system, it will not send. I didn't realize this until doing some research, but that's some weird, you know, communication glitch between Android and iPhone.
Well, the problem actually that happens, and I don't know about your specific, but the thing I've heard a lot about is that people who used to be an iPhone user and then switched to Android, Apple systems don't get told that. And so it tries to send them the image through Apple systems, and it never gets
Maybe
to them
that's
because
it.
Obviously they
right.
dumped it, right? So that's the one I've heard about a bunch. But and it really gets annoying because you have to go through all of this like rigmarole to make it work again. But this is part of the problem, right? A lot of these companies, because they compete, don't make everything interoperable the way they should. And here we end up with this.
All right. So what did we find out today from our friends at Apple when it comes to new products and updates and things along those lines?
Yeah, no new iPhone for today. So that's one of the big things. Usually, right about now, we're talking about the next iPhone, and that's actually delayed a few weeks. Apple warned us back in July. So instead, we heard a lot about the Apple Watch and the iPad. And the Apple Watch, they said that the new version that they're announcing that's coming out this week has a oxygen sensor in it, which, if you're a health nut, will be something that might interest you. A lot of the features Apple's added over the last few years have been health-related, right? They really see an opportunity there to the point that they even now have an Apple Fitness service that they're offering that's going to compete against Peloton. And they are going to say, you know, you've got every week we're going to have new classes for you through this thing. They've hired a bunch of physical trainers. And it's a really interesting kind of approach to all of this. But it kind of makes sense when you think about it, the way Apple's been going. They also have an Apple Watch SE, which I guess means special edition. I never knew what the SE means. And that is a bit cheaper, and it has a lot of the features of the new one, right? It just doesn't have all of them. So Apple's trying to answer, you know, the Fitbits, which are cheaper, and also the high-end that they've always been very successful with.
You know, the phone announcement doesn't disappoint me, only because I bit the bullet several months ago and got the new, you know, 11 Pro, whatever, biggest, best. But as I think you pointed out, maybe I didn't know until you told me this, that I can't get, like, if 5G kicks in on this iPhone that I have, I can't get it, right? It's not, this phone is not made to handle 5G technology. Is that true?
Correct. The chips that are in all of Apple phones sold right now and up until October or whatever will not support 5G. But the good news for you is that 5G so far has been pretty disappointing, and it's not terribly fast, except in some very, like, super urban areas like New York and San Francisco. So you're not actually losing that much. It's going to be a year or two more before we start really seeing the benefit from that.
So what about, you know, and they do this all the time, too. They announced iOS 14, new operating system. Any significant changes in that?
Yeah, the biggest thing actually is that it has a lot of my Android friends have said it finally has stuff that Google did a long time ago. So, for example, there's widgets on the home screen, which if you're an Android user, you're kind of slapping your forehead. Duh, I've had this forever. But for Apple people, it's whole new. So you'll be able to actually have like these living apps on the home screen that give you the weather. Or one of my favorite ones I've been playing with the beta is I'm able to have kind of cycling through photos. So it'll show me photos that it thinks are, you know, tied to either today's date from a long time ago or whatever else is going on. So that's super cool. And that's actually the biggest change that's in there. There's a few other kind of, you know, the quality of life stuff that they made. But a lot of what Apple is doing these days is they're refining the software, right? Because it's mature. It's been around for more than 10 years. At this point now, they need to be able to kind of make it so that it's the best it can be and then add a couple of new features. But don't go crazy because you'll upset everyone who has one of these things.
You know, I'm always frustrated. I always feel like I don't fully use my operating system the way that I could, because even after an operating system comes out, it might be a long time before I figure out that, hey, my phone can do this. And I know they try to give you little primers and stuff like that, if you will. But I always feel like all of us are underusing the technology, because there's some cool things that the phone can do that you probably don't even know that it can do, or you haven't put it to work for you.
Yeah, my favorite joke that used to go around is that with Microsoft Office, right, everyone only uses about 5% of what it can do, but it's all different 5%, which is why it has all of these features in it. And Apple is very much similar, right? The iPhone can do a lot. Fortunately, us over at CNET, we do have a lot of lists that we've written, you know, six best stuff you can do with the iPhone you didn't know or stuff like that. We do it for Google, too. Don't worry. We're not just all about Apple. And so it's actually that's where a lot of the benefit comes from is, you know, people like us try and suss out what's important and what people are finding actually useful versus just, you know, Apple's trying to sell you something and trying to show you how you could use it. But it is hard, and these things are getting ever more complex every year.
You know, one of the best updates they ever did in the history of Apple, and it took them, I don't even know why it took them this long, unless I misinterpreted it, it was there before I realized it. Remember how you used to be able to zap your apps accidentally? You know, you'd hit your home screen and the shaky thing would come on, and then you'd accidentally lose your app and it would go somewhere and you never knew where it was. Well, then they finally did it where the shaky thing, that's the official term, I think Tim Cook came up with that, comes on, and then you you know, you have to say edit, you have to press an extra button. But that took like 10 years just to come up with that.
Yeah, well, a lot of it is that they, you know, the thing about user interface design, and this is something, it's super nerdy, but I've talked to people who are experts in this stuff. Trying to intuit how people use stuff is really hard. And one of the things that I found really fascinating is that, you know, a long time ago, Nokia, right, one of these lost companies now, but they used to be the biggest phone maker out there, they would send experts all around the world to actually just watch people how they use their phones. And they would actually use that to teach people in the company how to do stuff differently. Because, you know, the way I use the phone is probably very different from the way you do and very different from someone listening. So that is incredibly hard stuff to do. And that doesn't defend Apple for doing it in a silly way, right? But I think it's something that they constantly are dealing with is that, you know, the nerds in Cupertino came up with one way to do it, but that might not be how you and I use it.
Yep, that's a good point. Ian Scher from CNET. Lots of updates on CNET.com with all this news from Apple today. I'll look forward to the operating system and see what kind of changes are forthcoming. We'll talk soon. Thank you very much, Ian Scher, as always.
Absolutely. Take care. And by the way, the word is wiggle, not shaky.
Oh, I thought it was shaky shake, but I like wiggles good too. Sort of wiggles and shaky shakes. There you go. I appreciate knowing the official term. 329 at the Voice of St. Louis. You know, I had a great conversation with a young man named Alex, who is with this group called Operation Christmas Child. And Alex is, he's kind of moved on, but Bonnie Kabuka, who's another representative from Uganda, it's just a great, great organization. They do great things, filling shoeboxes for kids that have never had presents before in their whole life. They don't even know what presents are. Bonnie's coming up after the news. We'll get to that. We're coming back with more on KMOX.
Get ready for the Cards and Brewers tonight. Emerin Total Access 545. First pitch 640. Hear it here on your Voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
So I have talked about Operation Christmas Child for several years now and had a great guy who would come in here all the time and talk about it. We had a lot of fun getting to know Alex, and I think a lot of you remember those conversations. We have someone new this afternoon to talk about Operation Christmas Child, hopefully to get some folks to donate and be inspired. Bonnie Kabuka is with us this afternoon. Hey, Bonnie, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. I always liked the stories, and you have a very special story. So I guess let's start there. You're from Uganda. Explain sort of your background and how you came to be a part of this project.
Yeah, I grew up in Uganda, and then I moved to the United States, and that's how I realized they were packing boxes here, the same boxes I received while I was in Uganda. And then that's how I got connected to the Operation Christmas Child in the United States. But I received a shoebox back in Uganda when I was 8 years old.
Wow. Yeah, that's what my question was going to be. So how old are you now?
I just turned 28 in July.
Well, happy belated birthday. So this is really, you're a perfect example of why this is so important. So maybe kind of take us back to when you were 8 years old. You have memories of that with the shoebox, and we're trying to get folks here in St. Louis to collect shoeboxes packed with toys and school supplies and other things to try to reach more than 11 million children is the goal. So what was that like opening up the shoebox?
It was really exciting because the shoebox I actually received was my first gift I've ever received. A country like Uganda, they don't give out gifts or anything, not even on your birthday. So as a little boy, I didn't know the kids get gifts on their birthdays till I moved to the United States. But that day was special because they told us we're going to receive gifts. And I remember actually in our Sunday school, one of the kids asked if we're going to have to pay for these gifts or go home and ask our parents to give money for these gifts. But they told us we were free. And it was so exciting, all of us ripping those boxes and see a bunch of gifts that somebody had packed in that shoebox for the very first time. I remember in my box I had a plastic camera that I grabbed out of there and pretended like I was taking pictures of my friend, because in that time we only had one photographer that would walk around the community, take pictures of different families. And if he was going to come to your house, your parents would say, "Hey, Bonnie, take a shower and wear your nice clothes. The photographer is coming to take your picture." And that was always my exciting moment. So for me to have the camera from my shoebox was exciting because it made me the second photographer in the community. And my friends were always happy. I was happy. It brought joy and happiness in our lives.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's very cool. And your perspective, just going back to what you said about never getting gifts, I mean, talk about something we all take for granted here in this country, and that really puts an emphasis on why this is so important. One of the things that was important to Alex when he was coming in to talk about Operation Christmas Child was the the theme of forgiveness. And mm-hmm. Alex had his own story with brutal murders that he witnessed and in his family. In your case, it was a little different, right? You used to steal from stores. You're a bit of a mm-hmm. troublemaker?
No, actually, I connect that to how I grew up. I grew up in a really poor family, and sometimes we would miss meals. Sometimes we would sleep without having anything. And I remember even in our own house, we lacked basic needs that somebody can have in the house, like salt, soap. So being a little boy growing up in that kind of environment, I had some friends that came from decent families, and I wanted to be like them. So that actually made me develop to want to steal because I wanted to be like my friends. And even though I grew up in a Christian home, I had that desire to steal, and that kind of put me in that behavior to steal because I wanted to be like my friend.
But what happened, because you were caught at one point from, stealing from a store, and in this particular case, the store owner did what? Didn't record you to the police, right?
Yeah, so when I was actually walking to go to church, and I stopped by the store because my parents sent me to buy batteries to put, like, in a clock. I went to the store, and I saw the shopkeeper wasn't seeing me, so I saw these nice sunglasses that I really loved and I wanted to have, but I knew my parents couldn't buy those for me. And I reached out to steal them, and I didn't know, but the shopkeeper grabbed my hand and looked me right in the eye, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I thought he was going to take me to the police station because at that time they would take kids to police station to have the policeman beat them up. But he didn't. Rather, he looked at me and was like, I don't want you to do this again. I've forgiven you. And that's when I made connections to the grace of God that I was taught in Sunday school by my mom, that we never deserved forgiveness, but through the grace of God, he sent his son Jesus die on the cross for our sins. So that's the very first time I experienced grace, and that led me to give my life to Christ and change my life.
Well, Bonnie, it's a great story. Bonnie Kabuka, thanks for coming on here this afternoon. Operation Christmas Child, hopefully we inspired some folks. Tell folks where they can find some more information about this and, you know, how they can go ahead and pack a shoebox up this fall. Is the best website, Bonnie, SamaritanPurse.org?
Yes, that's the correct website. And I would encourage anybody, if you have ever packed shoeboxes, to keep packing the shoeboxes. And if there's anybody who has not jumped on this, it's a very great way to show God's love, a tangible God's love to the kids in around the world. I'm one of the 178 million kids that have been blessed with a shoebox gift, and their need is still plenty. And this is also another way of sharing the gospel to the unreached people groups and showing the love of God. So I would urge everybody to jump on and continue packing shoeboxes, even though things have been weird this year. Maybe this is the year God wants us to pack even more than we have done before.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I think you're right about that. That's what I would maybe have as a takeaway. Bonnie, thanks so much for sharing the story. Good luck this Christmas season, and God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
You know, what an impression just hearing him say how, you know, this is where we take things for granted. Imagine being in a world in your life where you've never gotten a gift before, ever, and then you finally get a shoebox and you don't even know what it is. I was reminded of my trip about 10 years ago when I went to Honduras with my friend Bob Womhoff. He and his wife Diane have a great charity mission down there with this school that they built for these kids on a mountain village. And they always buy pizza for the kids, like the new group of kids. And these kids, they've never had pizza before in many instances. So there's like a Pizza Hut down in one of the cities, you know, off the village, a little ways away. So they order pizzas. And the kids start eating the pizza from the crust side first, you know, like the top versus the bottom of the pizza. In other words, the opposite side of what we would usually do. Excuse me, but I thought that was just fascinating because you take things for granted. You don't even think about that. Think about a kid who's never, ever had a gift in their entire life. Hopefully that inspires you.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
And the cut of the day is sponsored by Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. Couple audio cuts of the day. We'll do a little bit of a round robin here, one on the same topic. This one just made an impression on me because of just the absolute horror of it. This is a woman from Portland, small town, Detroit, Oregon. They only have really 59 families that live in town. And this is a woman, Sandy Sue Elwood, who came home. This was telling Inside Edition, you know, and she posted this video online to tell her neighbors what was happening. It's just heartbreaking.
There's looking over Detroit Avenue. The entire house at the end of the street with the swimming pool, gone. Jim Hobbs, your place is gone. Mom, the church is gone. Phyllis, your house is gone.
Basically, I mean, she's posting that to inform her neighbors, and her neighbors are finding out that their homes have been just completely wiped away by the fire. So this one's a little lighter. We'll get to something a little bit more lighter and positive here. And if I'm not mistaken, we covered this. Dave, I think we had this as a cut of the day when it originally happened, when the challenge was thrown down. There's this young girl, and she has, I mean, she's got about 160,000 followers on YouTube. Little girl, Nandi Bushell, and she decided to challenge one of the rock drum legend gods, Dave Grohl, to a battle. So here's how her battle. I think this was she wanted to drum to the song Everlong. She did her best version of this and then challenged Dave Grohl. Here's what it sounded like. Okay, Nandi, killing it on the drum kit, right? So Dave Grohl, go ahead and respond.
But Nandi, in the last week, I've gotten at least 100 texts from people all over the world saying, this girl is challenging you to a drum off. What are you going to do? This is my response to your challenge So now the ball is in your court. This is a song called Dead End Friends.
All right, so Dave Grohl responds, and he finally had to admit defeat, and he even wrote a song for Nandy.
Okay, Nandy, you got me. You win round one, but I got something special for you, something you've never heard before, something I've never heard before, because I'm about to write this off the top of my head for you.
Awesome is this. This little kid gets a song written by Dave Grohl, and she tweets out, you know, one of the parts we skipped there is when Dave re-challenges her, she does that cover and just kills it. She posted on Twitter, it has 1.4 million views, and finally, she tweeted out, it was an honor to be part of the most epic rock battles in history with the most awesome, fun, kind, and legendary Dave Grohl. Thank you for giving me this incredible opportunity. I'm extremely grateful. The rock gods of old are happy, and they are. So there you go. Great story. I loved how Dave Grohl got involved here. He had to borrow his daughter's drum kit. He hadn't played the drums in a while, even though that's where he got his start on the drum kit. His 11-year-old daughter had a drum kit and let him borrow it. And he had a lot of fun creating that song for Nandy. So there you go. A bit of a positive, uplifting cut of the day, courtesy Dave Grohl, the Foo Fighters, for you this afternoon on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.